stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. As I know a lot of people are traveling during the summer and have a lot of things going on. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now online. We have one more week left to go in this series, and then the following week, the last week of June, Mark Franzen will be bringing a message. He's a Luther basketball coach here, and I'm very excited to hear what he has to say, as he'll be preaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And Mark is currently enrolled in a seminary program at Liberty University, and so I love hearing when people are learning what God is teaching them, and so I'm excited to hear his message. And then July 4th, Tyler will be bringing us a special message, and then we'll have our series, Just Ask, where we're encouraging you now to ask some questions that you may have about anything in the Bible that you want to know about, or maybe I've never asked before, and you can hand me that question, or you can go online on our website and fill out a form and submit a question for that series, Just Ask. Well, in this series, we've been in, and we are in, the book of 2 Timothy. And what do we know about this guy, Timothy? What have we been saying every week? Timothy was timid. Timothy was timid. So what did the Apostle Paul do? Well, he encouraged him to be strong. He encouraged him, essentially, to be bold. Why? Well, as we're going to see today, because he told Timothy, we're living in the last days, right? We're living in the last days. And as we saw in this opening video, we saw kind of everything that is really going on in our world today. And so Paul said, hey, you got to stand up, Timothy. You got to be strong in the last days, and you have to be bold. And so today we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start here in verse 1 and look at this chapter here. Paul says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be what? Very difficult times. Things will be difficult and challenging. Certainly we see that in the world we live in today, that things are difficult, very difficult, and they're challenging. Well, how do we know we're living in the last days? How do we know this? Well, because Paul went on to describe what people would be like in the last days. He began to unpack the kind of characteristics, the kind of attitudes people would have, how they would conduct themselves. And so that's what we're going to look at here this morning. What will people be like in the last days? Well, the first thing Paul says is they will love only themselves and their money. What will people be like in the last days? First, they will love only themselves and their money. He says in verse 2, the first part, for people will love only themselves and their money. The temptation is to read this phrase or to read the following verses that we're going to look at here this morning and think that it applies to everyone else, right? That's the temptation, to read this and think, well, that applies to so-and-so, that's not me. While that may be true that it applies to everyone else, the question we need to ask ourselves, and we should be asking ourselves every time we read God's Word, is simply this. Does this apply to me? Does this apply to me? Not to, oh, I wish so-and-so would hear this, or I wish so-and-so would have been here this morning. Does this apply to me? Do I love myself and my money? And for me, the answer is yes. I am way too self-absorbed, and I love my money. My time is not my own. Nevertheless, I act like it is. I'm so into what I'm doing, so self-absorbed with what I have going on, that I'm in my own little world, an own little bubble, acting as if my time is my own. And it's not. I love my money, right? My money is not my own. never, it's God. Everything I have belongs to Him. He's given me everything I have. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, but He chose to give us birth through the Word of Truth. He's given me a new birth, a new life. Everything I have comes from Him, and yet I hoard every dollar like it's my last. Do I love myself and my money? Yes, I do. The question is, what about you? What about you? Do you spend all of your time thinking about yourself? I was helping someone this last week move. They were moving some furniture, and I was talking to a young man there as we were moving, and asking him about church and if he went anywhere to church. And he said, no, I don't go anywhere to church. And he had a bracelet on with some scripture and some tattoos that had faith and stuff like that. And so I was asking him more about the Lord and if his family had ever gone to church or grown up going to church. And he said, well, we did till I was around 6 years old. And then I just kind of got involved in sports, and sports just kind of became my life. And I thought, wow, I wonder, he just said it so openly, so honestly, and I just thought, I wonder how that is for us. We kind of get involved in something, and it may be a good thing, whatever it is that we're involved in, and before we know it, whatever it is, it just kind of becomes our life. It becomes our God, almost, so to speak. We spend all of our time thinking about it. We spend all of our time doing it. It's about us, and we end up loving ourselves through it. Do you spend all of your time thinking about yourself? Do you treat every dollar like it's your last? Do you treat every dollar like it's your last? If so, then you, like me, need to ask God to forgive you. Not only that, but we need to ask God to change us. Help me, Jesus, to put others first. We've always used the acronym JOY to say, Jesus, others, you. When do we have joy in our lives? When Jesus is first, then others, and lastly, ourselves. I don't know about you, but I have that all backwards. I'm all about Ed first, then others, and Jesus as He fits into that box, so to speak. How do we have joy? Jesus, others, and then you. Right? Help me, Jesus, to put you first. Help me to be giving. Why? Because you said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, what will people be like in the last days? First, Paul says they will love only themselves and their money. Second, what will people be like in the last days? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. I thought about each and every one of these. Am I boastful and proud? Yeah, definitely. When I do something good, I tell other people about it. When I do something good, I tell other people about it. Why? Because I care more about what they think than what the Lord thinks. What am I doing when I act this way? What am I doing? I'm actually scoffing at God. What do we know about people who scoff at God? Well, they're usually disobedient to their parents. In other words, they don't respect authority. Do I demonstrate respect for those in positions of authority? Do I do that? And I thought to myself, no, not all the time. Instead, I question those in positions of authority. What does this show? Well, it shows that I'm ungrateful for the system that the Lord has put in place. What system is that? Well, Romans 13, verse 1 says this. Everyone, Paul says this, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Well, what about you? Are you boastful and proud? Are you boastful and proud? Do you want people to notice you in what you're doing? Are you living one way at work during the week and another way on Sunday morning? If so, then what you're doing is scoffing at God. If you're scoffing at God, then you're probably not respecting others in authority. Well, what does this mean? Well, an example might mean that you're not grateful for the job that you do have, but you're ungrateful. What do we know about someone who is ungrateful? Well, they're not fun to be around. Someone who is ungrateful isn't very fun to be around. Why? Because they're usually negative and critical. Are you someone who is negative and critical? If so, then you, like me, need to ask God to forgive you. Not only that, but we need to ask God to change us. Help me, Jesus, to be thankful for what I have and not focus on what I don't have. I don't know about you, but I can get so focused on what I don't have that I lose sight of everything that God has given me. Help me, Jesus, to live for an audience of one. Help me not to care about what other people think, but only about what you think. Help me to respect my boss and those in positions of authority that I disagree with. Right? I don't agree with what they're doing and how they're running this or whatever it might be, wherever you may be. Help me, Lord, to respect them and those in positions of authority I disagree with. Paul says this in Colossians 3, 22 through 24. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them how? Sincerely, because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. One of my first jobs out of seminary, I was working in the business field, saving money to go to seminary. And it was a very stressful job there, and I didn't like it. And I had a hard time going to work every day. And these verses here really helped me to focus on who it is that I'm working for, who it is that I'm living for, who it is that I'm trying to please. It changed my attitude. What will people be like in the last days? First, they will love only themselves and their money. Second, they will be boastful and proud, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Third, they will consider nothing sacred. They will consider nothing sacred. 2 Timothy 3:2, Paul says what? They will consider nothing sacred. Do I consider nothing sacred? Yeah. Yeah. I will stop at nothing to get what I want. The end justifies the means. I know I shouldn't have done what I did. I know I shouldn't have done what I did. I know I shouldn't have crossed that line, whatever that line may be. Nevertheless, I did. But what about you? Is there anything that you're doing right now that you know you shouldn't be doing? Is there something you're doing that you know you shouldn't have done? Is there a line that you said you would never cross, and you did? If so, then you, like me, need to ask God to forgive you. Not only that, but we need to ask God to change us. Help me not to justify my actions. Oh, I'm so good at doing that. I don't know about you, but I imagine so, right? So good at justifying why I did what I did. Help me not to justify my actions. Help me, Jesus, to do what is right in your sight. Help me to live a whole Why? Because without holiness, no one is going to see you, Jesus. Right? Help me to live that way. Hebrews 12:14 says this, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord, will not see Jesus. What will people be like in the last days? Fourth, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Am I unloving and unforgiving? Yes. I can certainly give someone the cold shoulder, and I know how to hold a grudge. Do I slander others? Never. I never talk bad about anyone. That's a lie. I can't even say it with a straight face. Do I always exercise self-control? Do I always exercise self-control? No. Especially when it comes to ice cream. Cookies and cream, man, no. I just like lose everything. Or how about a picture of so-and-so on my Yahoo homepage who just turned 40 in her bikini? I don't know why they got to put this on my Yahoo homepage, but the temptation to look is always there, right? Am I ever cruel or mean? Yeah, when I've been on hold for 30 minutes. Forget 30 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 seconds. I'm impatient with that person. Do I ever hate what is good? Yeah, sometimes I hate the Ten Commandments because I want to break every single one of them. Now, James says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do but doesn't do it sins. I know what I should do, but I often don't do it. I'm a sinner. What about you? Is there anyone you're having a hard time loving and forgiving right now in your life? Anyone in your life right now that as soon as that person pops into your mind, you just kind of well up into this ball of anger or hurt or pain? Anyone in your life right now you're having a hard time loving and forgiving? Do you talk bad about the people you work with? In what areas of your life do you lack self-control? Do you take your anger out on others? Is there anyone you're not treating like you should right now? Anyone that you're not treating like you should? When you see that person at work or when you see them wherever you go, you don't treat them very good. If so, then you, like me, need to ask God to forgive you. Not only that, but we need to ask God to change us. Help me, Jesus, to love this person and forgive them. Help me, Jesus, to see them through your eyes. Help me to stop talking bad about so-and-so. Maybe it's a person in your family. Maybe it's someone you see now and again. But every time you see them, you just want to talk bad about them. In what area of your life do you lack self-control? Fill in the blank. What area of your life do you just kind of lose it, go off the deep end? Do you remember what the Lord said to Cain when he was angry, when Cain was angry? One of my favorite verses. I got a lot of favorite verses in the Bible. What did the Lord say to Cain back in Genesis 4, 6 and 7? He said this, why are you so angry, the Lord asked Cain. Why are you so angry, Ed? Why are you acting the way you're acting, Ed? Why are you treating this person the way you're treating them? Why can't you love them? Why aren't you forgiving them? Why are you talking bad about them? Put your name in there. Why are you so angry? Why do you look so upset? Why do you look so dejected this morning? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do right, what is right, then what? Watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you. Isn't that the truth? But you must subdue it and be its master. You conquer evil by doing good. In other words, Cain, do what's right. Ed, do what's right. Do the right thing. And if you can't, pray all the time. God, help me to love this person. Help me to forgive them. Help me to see them through your eyes. Well, what will people be like in the last days? Fifth, they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Have I betrayed my friends? Yeah. I haven't always been there for them. I haven't always been there for them. I know I should call them more to see how they're doing. I know it. I should call them to see how they're doing. Well, why don't I? Because I care more about what I'm doing than what God has called me to do. That's really the bottom line. I care more about what I'm doing than what God has called me to do. What has God called me to do? Spend time with people. That's what He's called me to do. To love people. To reach out to people. To call people. To connect with people. What about you? Do your friends know that you love them? Do the people around you know that you love them and that you care about them? Maybe you don't have time for your friends. Maybe you're like, you know what? Right now, I just don't have time for my friends. Why? Because you got too many other things going on in your life right now. Right? There's just too many things going on in your life that you just don't have time for them. Is this reckless? Yeah. Why? Because there may come a time when you need a friend. However, they may not be there for you because you weren't there for them. Forgive me, Jesus. Do you love what this world has to offer more than you love the Lord? Do you love what this world has to offer more than you love Jesus? Yeah, I do sometimes. Maybe more than I would like to admit. I love what it has to offer me. I get so wrapped up and consumed in it that I forget what's important. If so, then you, like me, need to ask God to forgive you. Not only that, but we need to ask God to change us. Help me, Jesus, to be a good friend. Help me to love the people you have put in my life, to care for them, to look after them. Help me to do what you've called me to do. What have you called me to do? Not just to act religious. Man, I'm really good at that. I know how to act the part, play the part, right? To act religious. Help me not just to act religious, but to be holy. As you are holy, Jesus, how do we do this? Well, by accepting the one who is all-powerful and can make us godly. Help me, Jesus, to embrace you. Transform me into your image and into your likeness. Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what? I start to conform to the pattern of this world like everybody else. And before you know it, I become just like everybody else. The people Paul is describing in the last days and how they act, I act that way. Forgive me, Jesus. What will people be like in the last days? Well, sixth and finally and lastly, they will act religious. They'll act like they're a Christian. right? They'll say, oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, I go to church. Oh, yeah. Right? Kind of reminds me of our politicians today. But I don't want to pick on them because sometimes I'm just like them. They will act religious. But they will reject the power that could make them godly. Right? They'll play the part. They'll act the part. But in reality, they reject Jesus. They reject His Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:5 says that they will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. I liked in this opening video, it said, avoid such people. Stay away from those people. And when I initially reread this passage and go through this long list here of what people are going to be like, I'm like, yes. Yes, right? They're burning things down, right? They're all these things. Those people. Paul says, stay away from people like that. However, are we people like that? Am I like that? The answer is, yeah, I am. Stay away from me. Avoid people like me. It's humbling. Father, forgive me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that people should be avoiding. There's no doubt after reading this list that we're in the last days. What is it then we should be doing? The last verse closing out this chapter is simply this. Paul said, Timothy, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Pay attention to how you're living every day, Ed. Put your name in there, right? Keep a close watch. Watch how you live and how you teach, your teaching, what you believe. Stay true to what is right. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Stay true to what is right. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, Ed, there was a thing or two in that list that you read that just hit me hard this morning because I realize I am that person. I am that person who's built up a wall of resentment or anger or bitterness. And I'm having a hard time loving and forgiving this person. I am that person who secretly is boastful and proud because I care too much about what other people think of me than what the Lord thinks of me. And quite frankly, that's why I don't talk about Jesus with my coworkers or the people around because I'm afraid of what they might think of me at work if I talk about Jesus. So I don't say anything. That's why I'm not bold like I should be. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I do love myself because that's all I think about. I'm always thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do this week? Or maybe you love your money. You're thinking about every dollar and every penny and where it's going. And it has a hold of you. It has a grip on you. I don't know what it is, but stay true to what is right. Why? For the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've kind of gotten off the path of where I need to be. And I've allowed some things to creep and seep into my life and take me down a road or to places that I know isn't healthy for me and isn't good for me. Maybe you're like that gentleman I talked to, that young man I talked to this week. You got involved in something that wasn't a bad thing, but before you know it, it became your life. It became your God. Maybe it's a sport. Or maybe it has nothing to do with sports, but you just know it's not healthy for you. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today, God can change you. He can forgive you if that's what you want. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It is very convicting. The temptation is to read it and think, well, that just applies to everybody else. And the real question is, does this apply to me? Am I these things? You're telling us to stay away from people like that and avoid people. Am I that person? Maybe you're here this morning, you would say, yeah, I agree with you. I am that person. And if we're living in the last days, and I believe we are, I don't want to be that person. That's not who you've called me to be. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart and into your life and to forgive you for your sins, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your desire, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been acting the way I should. I haven't been treating someone or maybe some group of people the way I should. When I see that person or that group of people, something just inside of me snaps and changes, and my whole attitude is not what it should be. I become unloving and unforgiving and hard and cold and indifferent. And I know that's not who you've called me to be. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for myself in every one of these areas. I pray that you would help us to be the men and women that you have called us to be, that we wouldn't just act religious, that we wouldn't just play the part, but that we would accept you, Lord Jesus, and not reject you. That we'd invite you into our heart and into our life every moment of every day. That we may stay true to what is right and not wander down a wayward path. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Help us, Lord, to stay on that narrow road. Help us to remember that you are the way and the truth and the life. And when we start to get off that path, bring us back onto the right path, Lord Jesus. Steer us, grab us, shape us and mold us into your image and likeness, that we may be holy just as you are holy. Purify our hearts, purify our minds, and may your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray.